the Torah tells us in Parshas Ki Tetze, Ki Sovo Bekerem Re'echo, V'achalta Anovim Kenafshecho Sov Echo, V'elkel Yecho Lo Siting. If you come into someone else's field, so you can eat grapes. Now it's a little funny, what do you mean? If I walk into someone else's field, I can eat grapes? So we're going to need the Torah Shabbat Pet to explain what's going on here, because that's what it sounds like. If you come into somebody's field, so you eat grapes till you're nice and full, they'll kill you chalutin, but don't take any, you can't take a bag. You can't bring home for your family. But you're allowed to eat to your heart's desire. So if you go into your friend's field, the kataft amilos biyadecha, you can cut with your hand stalks. V'chermesh lo tanif al kamas riecha. Just don't use a sickle. Don't use a special kli. That's what we're told here in the Torah. So there's a lot we need to figure out here. What exactly is there an assay here? Is it a lav? Maybe we'll spend time on that tomorrow. Today we're going to do more of an introduction to the sugya. Hopefully tomorrow we're going to focus more on the assay. Maybe the day after that we'll focus on the associated lavin. But the Torah here outlines for us the dinim of achilas poel basadeh. Now, if you take a look in the Mishnah and you follow the structure of the Mishnayos here, so we have a Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Hasocher Es HaPoalim. Hey Gimel Amid Aleph. Hasocher Es HaPoalim, V'yomer Lehem Lahashkim U'Lahariv, and you tell them, I want you to come earlier than the standard. Normally everybody starts working at 7, I want you there at 6. Or Lahariv, you want them to stay there later. So Mokim Shinagu Lulashkim Lulahariv, and Rashai Lakofan. You can't force them to do that, right? You already hired a guy. And then, you know, you tell him, okay, I'm going to pay you $100 for the day, $500 for the day, and then you call him the night before. You go, by the way, I don't know if I told you, all workers by me start at 6. I know in town it's 7, by me, it's 6. You know what? That's why I'm paying you $500. Weren't you wondering, like, how come everyone else gets paid $300 for a day work, and I was paying you $500? Well, guess what, buddy? It's because I start at 6, not at 7. So he could say, well, guess what, buddy? We follow Minhag HaMedina. I thought you were paying me more because you want me to do a really good job. You know I do a really good job. That's why I thought you were paying me more. So you're now allowed to be kofa them. Malkam Shinogu Lazun Yozun. Lesapek Bimisika Yesapek. Hakoka Minhag HaMedina. So if it's an area where they normally provide breakfast, let's say, the worker comes, he eats breakfast, and then he goes to work, so you have to do the same thing. You have to provide the meals that are normal for the workers in that area. Lesapek Bimisika, different opinions what that means, but let's say you give sweets, let's say that means. Look in the Mefarshim and the Mishnah, they have different shitas. But if it's a place where they give something to eat with their food, they don't just give them bread. Rashi here says liftan. You give some type of hummus with it or something, you stop it, you have to do that. Hakol kamina gamedina. Then the Mishnah has a mice here, Rav Yochanan ben Masya. He hired workers and they made a certain deal about what they were going to provide and he got upset. He told us, okay, you take a look, the Gemara there has a chasuri mechsura missing here. But that's this Mishnah, Mishnah Pei Gimel. Then you flip to Mishnah Pei Zayin and the Mishnah begins and says, V'eilu ochlin min haTorah. What's it kind of telling me? The Elu Ochlin Min haTorah. Meaning up until now, we were talking about workers who have the right to eat based on Minhag HaMedina. If the Minhag HaMedina is that you hire a worker for the day, you give him breakfast first, so you have to follow Minhag HaMedina. When he shows up and says, where's breakfast? You can't say, oh, I don't give my breakfast to my workers. He'll say, what do you mean? But this is Springfield. In Springfield, the Minhag is that all workers get breakfast before they work. And you're mechuyav to give him breakfast. So that's Alpi Minhag. Comes the Mishnah now and says, but you should know that besides Minhag HaMedina, there's another source for allowing workers to eat, and that's a D'oraisa din. There's a D'oraisa din that allows workers to eat. And what is that? That's Oser B'Mechuber L'Karka, B'Shas Gemar Malacha. People who are working with Mechuber L'Karka, so they're working on your field, but everything in your field is still in the field. Like your apple tree is filled with apples, and your grapevines are filled with grapes, and your wheat stalks are still connected to the ground. So they're allowed to eat b'shas gemar malacha when they're at the stage or at the end of the malacha, seemingly. U'betalush, and if you hire them to work with talush, I mean, they're not working out in the fields. They're working in your apple factory. They're working with all of the apples that have already been disconnected. Maybe he's driving the truck to bring the apples to the factory. Maybe by hand they pick up the apples, they put them into a bin. Maybe they carry them on their back in a basket. Maybe they sort the apples. What are the better apples? What are the grade A apples, grade B apples? You hired him to work with Tolosh. So then he can eat Ad Shalom Nigmar Malachta. So when it comes to Mechuber, we have, you're not allowed to eat them until this time. Right? You can't eat early. You can only eat when you get to Shas Gemar Malacha. And when it comes to Tolosh, you're not allowed to eat past a certain time. You're allowed to eat up until Nigmar Malachta. Okay? In addition to that, there's another requirement. It has to be Dabar Shegidulo Min Ha'aretz. It has to be Gidule Karka, something that grows from the ground. Gidule Min Ha'aretz. So what's not a case of that? Good. So let's say you were hired to milk the cows. Let's say you were hired to make cheese. So these things are not Gidule Min Ha'aretz. And even though there's a little bit of a discussion by animals sometimes, animals are considered Gidule Karka, but for this halacha, for sure, the things that we're talking about, which are the products of the animal, like milk and cheese and things like that, so that's not considered gidulei karka. There would be no din. If you're like milking the cow, you can't like drink a little bit and then continue pouring into the bucket. That's not allowed. Okay, that's also disgusting, but that's not allowed. Now, that's in terms of one requirement. So requirement number one is gidulei karka. Requirement number two, as we said, there's a specific time. What's the specific time? So when it comes to Tolosh, the Mishnah says it's going to be before Gemar Malachto, and the Gemara explains that that means for Trumos and Maestros. Different fruits and different produce have different times when they're chayev in Trumos and Maestros, but there's some stage that represents taking it from the field and making it kavua in the house. At that point, it's going to be chayev in Trumos and Maestros. It might be when you put all the produce into a pile. It might be when you bring it into the house. But there's some stage where it becomes chayv and shumos and maestros. You should know the halacha is that you're allowed to eat produce in the field as long as it's arai. That was in terms of tolosh. That's in terms of tolosh. What about mechuber? So Rashi says, the Mishnah says, mechuber, what are you chayv? B'shas gemar melacha. What's b'shas gemar melacha? So Rashi says, kisha tolshin oso, when you harvest it, when you disconnect it, when you pluck it from the tree, when you pull it off the grapevine, when you cut it, that's what it means, b'shas gemar melacha. So if you were hired to be the apple picker, or if you were hired to be the grape picker, or you were hired to be the wheat cutter, so you're allowed to, Pasuk says you can't use your chermesh, but while you're chermeshing and you're sickling, you're allowed to pull out one yourself and take a bite out of it and eat it. What? We're not talking about Shumos and Maestros right now. We're talking about the
Gemar Malacha in terms of Maestros.
No, Gemar Malacha in terms of the Malacha with the fruit. Gemar Malacha means when you're done, when you're at the last stage of work. What Eli means to point out is that seemingly the word Gemar Malacha is being used in two different ways in the Mishnah. When we say Gemar Malacha by Mechuber, it means, seemingly according to Rashi, when you're done, when you're at the final work stage. Gemar Malacha, final work stage. What's the final work stage? It's not like a halachic thing. That's just a reality of working in the field thing. What's the last stage when you're working with Mechuber? When you pick it. Why? Because after you pick it, it's not Mechuber anymore. What's the end of the Mechuber process? The end of the Mechuber process is when you pick it. So Gemar Malacha, according to Rashi, means when you pick it. And as Eli's pointing out, in the next part of the Gemara, when it says in the Mishnah, when it says Tolosh, Gemar Malachto doesn't mean when it stops being Tolosh. It doesn't mean when you're done with the Tolosh process. In fact, you might be doing a lot more. You might take your apples, you might put them into a pile, then put them into baskets, bring them inside, sort them, spray them, bag them. There's still lots of things going on. The halacha is not that if you're the bagging guy at the end who's putting the final bag onto the produce before they get sent out, you're allowed to take one and eat one. No, Gemar Malacha there is a halachic statement. It means right before it's chayiv and gemar malacha legabe trumos and maestros. But anyway, going back to mechuber. So Rashi says, what does it mean, gemar malacha? It means the end of the working stage. Gemar malacha means your malacha, the worker vis-a-vis the fruit. Now the Maram thinks that Tosfos is arguing with Rashi. Why? Because Tosfos says, perish, she'ein tzrichim od lekarka. They no longer need the ground. What does that mean, they no longer need the ground? It means they're fully ripe. They no longer need the nutrients from the ground. So they're fully ripe. So it sounds like, according to Tosfos, it's not about the stage of work, it's about the stage of the fruit. It's about when the fruit is done. Gemar Malacha doesn't mean your work, it means the Gemar Malacha of the fruit. When the fruit is done. So we actually have three different possibilities of what Gemar Malacha means in our Mishnah. Rashi says Gemar Malacha means you're done working. Tosfos means the fruit is done in terms of ripeness. And then in the end of the Mishnah, when we're talking about Tolish, it means Chumos and Maisos. What's the nafka mina between Rashi and Tosfos? If maybe you're harvesting before things are fully ripe. If you're harvesting before things are fully ripe, according to Rashi, you can eat those things. And everyone knows, like, when you bite into a pear and it's like, pears oftentimes here, at least in Eretz Yisrael, are not ripe when you bite into them. They're still very hard.
I've never had
some stop. Peaches also are very hard here in Eretz Yisrael. So if it doesn't need the karka anymore, it's fully ripe, or if it's when you're picking it. So according to Rashi, if you're picking hard peaches, according to Rashi, you'd be able to take a bite out of it. According to Tosfos, maybe not. Maybe that's not considered Gemar Malacha yet. It's not fully ripe yet. It still needs the karka in order to finish its process. Okay.
Why is this contrast in this example? Moser versus Menachish Mader.
Right. So it could. So it could. It could be that he means you need both criteria. You need both that the fruit is ripe. First of all, it could be he's not arguing with Rashi, and the Maharam's making a bad deal. That's one possibility. And Haraya, look, he brings examples, and he says Kotzer. He specifically diverts it to talking about the work stage. It could be that he means you need both, meaning something which is ripe. For instance, someone who's being Kotzer, I mean, you could just say that, for instance, is really for the second part, Lafuke, people who are working on doing other stages. But it could be that you require both. It could be that you require both. You need both ripe and to be picking, which obviously, you know, the picking makes a lot of sense, right? That you have to be at that stage. And Gemar Malacha means that the fruit itself is ripe as well. Okay. Yeah.
How does Tosfos and Rashi deal with the end of the Mishnah, which says Truma Masa?
That's talking about Tolish. It's not talking about Mechubar.
But they would both agree.
They would agree that that's what it means for a Tolish. Correct. Gemara says that. Okay.
Tosfos.
Yeah.
Tosfos says when you're positive Mazonas, that's not this. You didn't want to refer to this.
You talking about the Tosfos before?
Yeah, it's
Eilu. Iri meikar bepolim shochem al yedei shepaskul emazonos al yedei minag medina lochi nakid ve'eilu ochem natar below pasak below minhag. So I think he's talking about there, talking people who had a, up until now we've been discussing people where there was a deal worked out in terms of what they're going to eat. Now they also have the din d'oraisa. They're allowed to also eat at least. But normally when you have a worker come to your field, there's some type of general, what's the guy going to eat all day? Like he has to eat lunch. Who's giving him lunch, and when is he getting lunch? I think here in Eretz Yisrael, I'm not 100% sure. It might be a law here in Eretz Yisrael that the employer has to provide lunch for a worker. You know, if a worker's at work all day, there might be a law that the employer either has to provide food or provide money in a salary that's directed towards getting food when he's at work.
But these didn't referring to Mar Malacha.
Maybe that's only for government jobs. I'm not sure.
No,
so the point is that the Mishnah before was saying workers get to eat based on whatever you worked out with them or whatever the Minhag HaMedina is. And if there's a Minhag HaMedina and you make a Tanai with them, you can't hire them, like we said in the case of the $500, $300, you can't hire them and then after they come to show up for work say, oh, by the way, these are the conditions of work. But before you hire them, you're allowed to make conditions and you're allowed to say, listen, I know the Minhag HaMedina is that you get to eat breakfast when you first get here, but by me it doesn't work that way. So bring your own breakfast and eat it on the bus on the way here.
Because the rules about Gemar Malacha is only referring to when they're taking themselves.
This is when they're taking themselves, b'shas malacha, where the Torah outlines that a poel is allowed to eat, so you have to follow these rules. Okay, yeah.
According to Tosfos,
if
you picked it when it was unripe, but then you left it on the side for a few days.
No, Lachori, that was a problem.
Lachori.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. The Gemara wants to know, how do we know that this halacha applies to all Mechubar and all Talish? Right? What seems to get ousted are things like cheese and milk, things that are not gedulei karka, but when it comes to gedulei karka, seemingly everything is in. And we have a long page of Gemara here that goes through, I counted, six possibilities as to what is the mucker that all produce is included. So let's just go through them very quickly. The Gemara, that's what most of the Gemara is talks. First, the Gemara says, maybe we should learn it out from Kerem. Now, why? Because the Pasuk says, Kisavo b'Kerem Re'echa. So, Kerem's an example. Maybe the Torah picked one example. The Huadin, for all their produce, why would a dafka be about grapes? So it says Kerem, and it means everything. That's possibility number one. We're going to learn from Kerem to everything else. Which one of the, would this be a Mematsinu? Which of the, which one of, I don't know, it wouldn't be a Kavach Homer. No. Ilachori would be a Dover Halomid, me, not me and Yano. Which one would it be? Kosov Echon? It's interesting here. This is one, I think we talked about this maybe on a Friday show. I'll just mention it for those who know what I'm talking about. Those who don't know what I'm talking about, you could. It's very clear that they didn't have a, it's very clear that they didn't have clear what the Mesorah was for what's the mucker for this halacha. Right? There's six different possibilities, and in the Yerushalmi, they have different possibilities. So this is interesting. Is this one of those situations where at Har Sinai we got the halachas, but we did not get the Makoros? That's what the Rambam refers to as Perushim Mikubalim. Those are all the dinim that we got at Har Sinai. And it was taught to us as dinim. So the din is all Talosh and Mechubar. There's a din of, when Moshe Rabbeinu learned this pasuk, of Kisavo b'kerem re'echa, Hashem said, by the way, that means all produce. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't told how you learn that out. And now Chazal are coming and giving different suggestions backwards of how to work it out. The Rambam says that's a lot of Torah, a lot of Torah. We got the halachas, but we didn't get the sources. And a lot of the Gemara spends time working backwards trying to figure out, how'd you know that halacha? Or is this one of these areas where Chazal created the halachas? Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the din, Kisavo b'kerem re'echa. He didn't tell us who does it refer to, and what type of fruits does it refer to? He was moser that over to the Chachamim to define that. Like, for instance, that's what a lot of some of Farshim say regarding Malach and Chalamoy. There's nothing called Malach and Chalamoy. How? He gave it over to Chazal to figure it out. Then when Chazal figured it out, it might be still the Oreisa. Because they're going to use the Midosh Shatar Nedresh. They're going to come to a conclusion. So too, it could be all of these halachos are things that the Rabbanim created, but they still have a din of a Dioraisa. So it's a question if this is the Rabbam's first category or if it's his third category in Perish HaMishnayis Ayin Shem. Okay, so what are the Makaros? Makar number one, I know you're looking at Reviyat, so I think that was really just for Reviyat. Number one, but I think we talked about it on a Friday share one day, or not a Friday share, because I never get a Friday share, but I think we had it on like one of the Thursday share when we talked about what we got in Har Sinai. Okay, so option number one is Kerem. The Pasuk says, Kisavo b'kerem re'echa. The problem with this is that maybe that's only for grapes or anything that would be shayach to olos, which are grapes. Right? That would be the olos, a special halacha, if you leave certain types of grapes in the field, so you have to leave them there for the poor. Olos, special din by, so maybe it's dafka grapes, because hey, grapes anyway, we're more easy with giving out grapes. So maybe we just give out grapes to workers. We don't give out other things. So kerem can't be such a great mucker.
Workers koalim like that are considered poor. Like I thought, either that maybe because since we have this din of olos by grapes, that the poor people come and take the grapes.
This is just an extension of olos.
Correct.
Okay, but lachori here, it's that you can only eat the olos. You can even eat regular grapes.
Right.
You're not eat any grapes. But the point is that grapes maybe are more nitan to you know give it out. Okay, so then the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Maybe it's not kerem. Maybe it's the other pasuk. Kisavo b'kamas re'echa. Now, what is a kama? So first, the Gemara, and a lot of people, I think, miss this stage. First, the Gemara says, I mean, it doesn't really say first, but it says second, but it really means first. What do I mean by that? First, the Gemara considers that kama means call kama, expansive kama. What's expansive kama? Expansive kama means anything that grows on things that are upright coming out of the ground. So like not carrots and potatoes, but anything that grows on a tree, like fruits. Kama just means standing up, but it's a very expansive kama. So the Gemara says, no. So that's possibility number two. All things that grow. The problem is that we have a Gezeirah Shavah, which somehow disappears later in the Sugya, which Gezeirah Shavah is you're supposed to have in the Sarah, of course. That's also an interesting question. But so maybe it wasn't really a Gezeirah Shavah. Maybe it was just trying to make an inference from a reference someplace else. But the word kama appears by the din of the Karban Omer. It says there that you're going to cut from the kama. And there, the Karban Omer is a very specific product. What is it? What's the Karban Omer brought from?
Barley.
Barley. So maybe it's specifically, maybe there's big comma and there's like uppercase comma and lowercase comma. Very specific comma means grains that grow, like barley and wheat. So the Gemara says, maybe ki tavo b'kama sreyacha, comma is very expansive, and it means all stuff that grows in fields upright, and that would include apples and everything. The Gemara says not necessarily, because maybe we have to learn comma from the very specific comma that's mentioned by the Karban Omer. The Gemara says, okay, great, so maybe that's the mucker. Mucker number three. Maybe it's very specific comma. So the Gemara says, well, then it's very specific. And it's only things like barley and wheat. Those all have very unique halachas. Like, for instance, they're chayav and challah. Not everything's chayav and challah. Apples aren't chayav and challah. So option number one, kerem, gets rejected, because maybe only grapes. Option number two, all comma, gets rejected, because who said the word comma means all comma? Maybe comma means specific comma. Option number three, specific comma. Well, that also can't be, because that's only going to teach us things that are chayav and challah. For instance, kidneys, all different other legumes, and rice, these types of things are not going to be included in that. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, fine, so maybe it comes from the word kerem and comma together. Kerem and comma. And that'll teach us all products, even kitnios. So it's going to be kerem, and comma is going to mean, l'chore, sounds like he might be going back to, we'll leave that for the side right now. What?
How rice.
Oh, so that's what I was just going to say, that perhaps at this stage already, when we go back to comma, at this point we say it's Elori Zek or Zek, because the Gemara says, you'll ask on Kerem, it's only grapes? No, I've got comma. Comma, you'll say it's things that are only Chayev and Chala? No, Kerem's not only Chayev and Chala. So Elori Zek or Zek, Elori Zek or Zek. Once you have Kerem and comma written, you should be able to get everything. Don't tell me that comma means only specific comma, because kerem is not specific comma. Kerem, grapes are not chayev and challah. And don't tell me kerem, because that it's only grapes, because comma is not grapes. It's not chayev and ololos. So it's a lo rizek rizek. The Gemara says, okay, but we have another pircha. Maybe it's only things that have a tzadam mizbeach, which does not mean that it's put on the side of a mizbeach. Tzadam mizbeach means that it's something that's brought as a karbon, or it's brought on a mizbeach. So when it comes to kerem, grapes, so they would have wine on the mizbeach. When they have kama, wheat, they have menachos on the mizbeach. The Gemara says, so we can even get grapes, or we can even get olives in there. Okay, good, we got olives in. But the problem is that only gets us kerem and kama and maybe olives. But what about kidneys? What about everything else? What about the rice? What about the quinoa? What about all the legumes? So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to drop kerem, kama. We already tried four different things with kerem and kama. Now we'll suggest chermesh, the sickle. Anything which is harvested with a sickle, and that includes kidneys. That's how you cut kidneys. You cut them with a sickle in order to get them out. A sickle is a, like what the Grim Reaper comes with, but like not a long one. It's like what the Grim Reaper uses, but a handheld one. Yeah, the Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper is like that scary guy who's always holding that like stick. Whatever. A sickle is like a knife that's very sharp and it's hooked. And you take it with your hand and you...
I want one.
Okay, you can get one if you want. So that is a chermesh. That's a chermesh. So the problem with this is that this only includes things that are harvested with a kli. You don't use a chermesh to detach apples or to detach grapes, necessarily. You use it for wheat. You use it for kidneys, but you do not use it for legumes, but you do not use it for an apple. Chermesh. We're trying to find the mucker for all things. Another puzzle, we would say anything that's harvested. The Gemara says that's great, but that doesn't include everything. So the Gemara finally comes and says, chermesh and comma. And the Gemara is very clear that when it says comma now, it doesn't just mean specific comma, because that wouldn't add anything to chermesh. Chermesh means anything that's sickled, like wheat. We want to include apples. Gemara says, okay, comma. How does comma help? Comma is also wheat. So it's clear that the Gemara is going back to the original suggestion of comma. That's why I made sure to point that out. The original, more expansive version of comma. Call comma. Anything that's grown standing up, like on trees, like apples. So our final mucker is chermesh and comma. And it's the all comma variety. It's the more expansive form of comma. So now what that basically tells us is that we've got our mucker that all things, all produce that grows is shayach to this din. How? Because the pasuk says, Kisavo bikerem reyacha, no, Kisavo bikamas reyacha, the katafta melilos biyadecha, the chermesh lo sonif al kamas reyacha. So that second pasuk chavav, where it says kama and chermesh, we learn out from there the din that all produce. But what that means, though, is that the first pasuk is completely unused. Why do we have pasuk chav hey, which tells me a story, Kisavo bikerem reyacha? We don't need the story of kerem reyacha. V'achalta anavim kenafshecha, sovecha, ve'alkel yecha lo siten. What's that whole pasuk for? We don't need it to teach us the din of mechubar and talush, of gidulei karka. So what do we learn from there? So in an amazing brisa, every single word in this pasuk, I believe, every single word, they're medayikin, or every single phrase. They don't leave a phrase unturned. So, kisavo bekerem reyacha, this is our connection to our previous sugya. Kisavo bekerem reyacha. And the Rambam goes out of his way in Mishnah Torah to address this point. What, you think you're allowed to just go into someone's field and take fruits? No, kisavo bekerem reyacha, he learns out the lashon lo savo alav shemesh. Where was that from? Lo savo alav shemesh. The schir, which one? Don't let the sun set. The night worker who gets paid all day, you got to pay him before sunset. From the sugya of Halana Schar Sachir, on Daf Kuf, Yud Aleph in Bava Metzia. So from the fact that it says Kisavo, the Gemara learns Kisavo, Kisavo, we're talking here about a poel as well. So from these few words, Kisavo Bekam Reach, we learn that we're talking about a poel, a Sachir. We're not just talking about a stam person can't come into your field and eat fruits, and then you say, what are you doing? He says, oh, it's a posuk. Yisavu b'kam reyacha. I came into your field. So you have to know, the Torah Shabbal Peh. The Torah Shabbal Peh, that's only referring to a sachir, to a poel. Hold on 1 second. We learned from the posuk, b'kerem reyacha. So kisavu, we learned the deal that it's a sachir. B'kerem reyacha, the Gemara learns, is to exclude either a goy or maskana, hektesh. This is not true when you're working in the field of hektesh. It's interesting, when you're working in the field of a hektesh, is it because there is no din, or there is a din, it's just that he's not allowed to eat it, because it's hektesh? Is it that there's no halacha, it's a special gzeres hakasuf? I would have said, what do we need a gzeres hakasuf for? I can't eat hektesh. Then again, you're not allowed to eat other people's things, it's lo sigzo. So if the Torah is matir me to steal from a person, maybe, steal in quotation marks, maybe the Torah can be matir me to steal from hektesh. Pasuk comes and says, no, not hektesh. V'yachalta. What do we learn from V'yachalta? V'yachalta v'lo motzeis. Which means you have to eat the whole grape. You can't sit there sucking out the juice from the grape and then spit out the meat, the flesh.
What do they call that?
The flesh and the skin. You have to suck, you have to eat the entire grape. Anavim, it's only grapes and nothing else. And it doesn't only mean grapes and nothing else, meaning not apples. But it means what you're working with and nothing else. You're not allowed to take apples and eat them with crackers. You can only eat the apple. You can only eat the grape. Kenafshecha, that you are like the balabayas. Just like the balabayas is allowed to eat it, it's not chayiv and shumos and maestros, so too you're able to. Now, of course you are. It's arai. So Rashi goes through a cheshbon for us, that no, maybe this would be considered something that you purchased because you got it from him, and that's koveya for shumos and maestros. It could be that the relationship, the fact that you're getting it from the balabayas, would trigger the din of Chumos and Maestros? No, you're also allowed to eat it just like him. And then the last of Svoecha, the lo achila gasa, Svoecha, it has to be something that's regular satiation, not achilas gasa. And then last, the alkel yucha lo sitein. And that's where we learn this ikar halach of our Mishnah, that you can't put it into your bag, it's only when you're working b'shas gemar malacha. While you're cutting, you can eat, but you can't put it into your bag.
In regards to the idea that you're not allowed to eat it with other things, or you're not allowed to eat other things that belong to the balabais.
No, you can't even eat it with your own stuff. You can't bring your own crackers and eat the apples with your crackers. The question is going to be why. So many of these suck. So many of these halachas are strange. How do you understand these halachas? Like, if I'm allowed to eat, so why can't I suck them? Like, I only like sucking grapes. I don't like eating them. How come I'm not allowed to suck them? How come I can't eat them with crackers? I love apples, but I just don't like apples by themselves. I like them with crackers. If I'm allowed to eat the apples, why can't I eat them with crackers? Why, you know, why can't I eat achila gasa? What's wrong with eating achila gasa? So, okay, you're right. So I'm a behema. And give me a Musar Shmooze about it. But why can't I eat achila gasa? If I'm allowed to eat the fruits, I'm allowed to eat the fruits. What's going on here? So let's look at some of these halachas. And I think, an interesting, as we just learn a little bit more about the halachas, I think there's going to be an interesting yesod that's going to emerge. And I'm going to do it quickly because we're running out of time. So in guards of Re'ach HaVelo Shel Nachri, there's a Machlokas Rashi and the Me'iri. What are we talking about when we say you're not allowed, it has to be of a Jew and not of a Goy. So Rashi says, this is referring to the halachas of putting the fruits into your bag. You're only allowed to eat the fruits, you're not allowed to take any home. So Rashi says, that's only by a Jew, but by a Goy, you can take home as well. You're allowed to take home as well if it's by a Goy. The Me'iri, though, and I believe the Ritva as well, learn, and we're going to see the Ritva later in the Sugya, the Me'iri says, no, that's not what it means. We're not talking about the Isser to take things home in a bag. We're talking about the Etzem Heter, to eat in the field. There is no Heter if you're working by a Goy. Right? According to Rashi, there's a Heter if you eat by a Goy. You're just not allowed, just there's a the debate in the Havamina whether you can put it in your bag if it's by a Goy, that you're working in a Goy's field. According to the Me'iri, though, when you're working in a Gentile's field, you're not allowed to eat in the field. Why not? So you might say, listen, because it's a halacha on the Baal HaBayis, and the Baal HaBayis is a Goy. Of course you're not allowed to. The Me'iri says something very interesting. He says it's almost like a PR halacha. It looks a lot like stealing, right? It looks a lot like stealing, right? If you hire a guy to work in your factory and you're making iPhones, yeah, one for me, one for you, one for me. It looks like stealing. So he's eating apples while he's working in the field. He's not supposed to do that. So it looks like stealing. And the goy might not know that it's a halacha that you're allowed to do it. That's the Me'iri says. So Re'acha v'lo shel nachri, at least the Havamina here, is that it looks like stealing. Why does it look like stealing? Why is it not ideal? No, but I'm saying, why does it look like stealing? That if he sees me eating. I'm working in the field. I'm not allowed to eat. I guess the question I would sort of ask is, does this halacha make sense to us without the halacha? Is this a shimios, or is this a halacha that's obvious to everybody, or is this a chiddush, this halacha? The Me'iri certainly sounds like he thinks it's a chiddush. If you're by a goy, he's going to think you're stealing. Okay, what about the halacha of anavim velo motzeis, that you have to eat the fruits and the achalta, excuse me, the achalta velo motzeis, that you have to eat it and not suck on it? What's the problem? So the Shita Mekuvetza says that who sucks on grapes and doesn't eat them? Obviously, it's only a person who's so stuffed he can't eat anything else, so he just like sucks on a little bit of grape juice. But he can't eat anything else. That's the problem. It's achila gasa. That's view number one in the Shita Mekuvetza. View number two in the Shita Mekuvetza is that if you eat it like this, you're going to go through a lot of grapes. If you're eating the grapes themselves, you're going to fill up after a certain number of grapes. But if you're just sucking out the juice, you're going to go through a ton of grapes, and we want to limit how many grapes you're eating. Why do we want to limit how many grapes you're eating? Halacha is you're allowed to eat. If you like sucking on them, let you suck on them. There's another halacha here, that you're not allowed to eat it with your crackers, im davar acher. Why? So Rashi and the Me'iri say, because when you eat it with something else, you're able to eat more. Like, how many grapes can you eat? You eat enough, a few grapes, you start to get like nauseous, like it's a lot of one thing. But if you eat it with crackers, eat it with something, it allows you to eat a lot more. So again, why are we trying to limit your eating? And the last halacha is chermesh. You're not allowed to cut them. You have to pick them one by one. You're not allowed to use the sickle. Why aren't you allowed to use the sickle? Says the Nitziv in the Hamek Dover, because when you use a sickle, you're going to end up wasting a lot. You're going to cut more than you really need. You're going to cut a sickle amount, but you're not going to eat all of that. And it's going to allow things to go to waste. So if we make you pick them one by one, it will limit how much waste there is. So when we take a step back from a lot of these halachos, we see a theme coming to emerge. First of all, we see, according to Me'iri, that this is something that people would normally see as stealing. Unless you know the halachos, this is stealing. In addition to that, you see a real push by Chazal, or by the Torah, however you understand where the makor of these halachos is, to limit how much you take advantage of this halacha. Why? Why is this all the case? So it could be that this all points to a very fascinating conclusion about this mitzvah, and that is that perhaps this mitzvah is not unique, is not ideal, excuse me. The Torah doesn't really want you to eat from the guy's field. Why not? So there's a little bit of a hint to this, or more than a hint in Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bechai's lashon commenting on this halachos is belkel yichal lo yite. So he says, because that's going to be stealing, and the Torah only allowed this whole halacha because you have a taiva. What's your taiva? Imagine spending all day, you're hungry, working all day around meat, around food, and you can't eat it. That's putting you in a very tough compromise situation, because for many people it will probably lead to stealing. You steal a little cookie here, steal a little cookie there, and therefore the Torah, in a concession to your Yetzer Hara, the Torah says, you know what, we're going to make a heter, but we're going to limit the heter. Why? Because the whole thing's not ideal in the first place. Mashalom adaber dome yifas toar, where the Gemara says, the Chazal say this also explicitly. By yifas toar, you're in the middle of, you're all worked up for battle. You go out into the battlefield, and as you're like, you know, think, I don't know which video games they are, but like whatever Rav Reich was playing in the Purim Spiel, and you're like shooting up and killing and blah, 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 and then all of a sudden, there's a beautiful, helpless Gentile woman in the battlefield. So the Torah knows the Yetzer Hara of a person, especially when he's all revved up in battle, and therefore the Torah says, you're allowed to marry her. You're allowed to have relations with her. Normally you can't do that. You're allowed to have relations with her. But, yeah, first do this, and first do that, and first do this, and first do that. Limiting, limiting, limiting. Some Mefarshim even understand that the Torah is trying to really, like, push you off so that you might actually not give in to your Yetzer Hara. But at least when it comes to our situation, so we don't want people to eat b'isser, and we know the tremendous nisayon it is to be there in the field. And therefore the Torah allows it, but the Torah minimizes. The Torah says, let's not take advantage of this, because this whole thing is not ideal in the first place. That's number one way of looking at it. In addition to that, it could be that the more you give halachic parameters to it, the more a person doesn't go overboard with it. When a person needs to know, oh, there's a din, and they have to do this, and you have to do that, you have to only take this, and I can only eat it in this way, so that means that I take it really seriously. I mean, if the Torah just said, all right, you're a behemoth, so just eat. So you'll eat a ton. But if the Torah says, oh, you can eat, but you have to first fill out this form. And so when it gives parameters, so it serves to lessen our lack of control. And in fact, I would even suggest that it might be, therefore, that if you're a poel, and you really understand the Amkus of Torah, and you really understand the Halacha, it might be ideal for you not to eat. Not to eat at all. And this is from the Sefer Hasidim. Now, the Sefer Hasidim is not traditional Jewish thought in many areas. So I'm just throwing this out there as a possibility. But these are two fascinating Sefer Hasidim. If you didn't get a chance to read them, you should. And it says here that even though the Torah's Matar Yifas Toar, it's a mitzvah, seemingly. It's a mitzvah Yifas Toar. Rama might word it as din yifas toar, not mitzvah, but it's on the list of tayag mitzvahs, I believe. So yifas toar, if you really understand, the Torah doesn't want you to have take a yifas toar. And he brings other examples here, very interesting. Like, for instance, there's a day in the end of Maseches Gittin that you're allowed to divorce your wife if she burns the chalent. You're allowed to. But that doesn't mean that you should. In fact, he even says that a person who does it, asid litenes adin, you're going to be punished for it. You don't need to be punished for it. It's explicit in the Mishnah. He's not assuming that we don't paskin like that daya. He's saying that even if we paskin like that daya, it's totally mutter. Why? Why then are you going to be brought to din? Because you should have used your brain to understand that Hashem doesn't really want you to do this. And that's a very, very big yisod, because a lot of times people ask the question, Rabbi, is it mutter? If it's mutter, I'm doing it. If it's usher, it's not. And that's not really the question. The question is this the Ratzon Hashem? It might be mutter, but it's not really what Hashem wants from you. And that you see very, very clearly in this halacha. Okay, so I think we got a little bit of an introduction.